This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, I had a pretty good week, Josh. I mean, isn't that news for the Always Cheating community?
It is, yeah. For anyone who's been listening for more than, 2 weeks now, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the International Break episode with Luke Thunberg, where Brandon really... He really goes into, I mean, it's about a 2 hour sort of like deep dive, wouldn't you say, Brandon, into your
HBO drama called In Treatment. Basically, Luke was a stand-in for, who's the name of that, Gabriel Byrne, the actor?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the episode name is Wildcard Diaries, if anyone's interested. But yeah, I've kind of been on tilt the last 2 weeks, and... We'll talk about our game weeks in a second, but I think the fact that I was able to be patient this week served me well.
So we have this theory that we get more listeners when there is a good game week. Like, we tend to see the best traffic. You see a lot during like the double game weeks and things like that, but when there's just like a good game week where like Aguero is highly captained, he has, you know, like the Newcastle game a couple years ago where he scored 5 goals in 20 minutes, great numbers for the podcast afterwards.
Huge numbers.
So what do you think the numbers are gonna be like this week? Because it's real week of highs and lows. You had Liverpool, you had Kane as well.
It is true. I think this is a very divisive game week for those exact reasons. So I think this episode might be a little better than recent weeks. I mean, the international break always kind of messes with people's engagement with FPL. It's kind of like getting back into the swing of things. So I'm curious to see. I hope everyone's excited going into game week 5, because I do feel, I mean, beyond whether you had a good game week or a bad game week, I mean, for all intents and purposes, if you're a plugged-in manager listening to this podcast, you're probably somewhere within the ballpark of the average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And now we're starting to get to that very elusive point in the season where we're starting to know just a little bit more about these new players, and our decisions are going to get easier and easier to make as we go.
It's in some ways, yes, in other ways, no. I mean, I think that you look at, you know, Aaron Moy's performance this afternoon and you wonder, is this guy, you know, or Meunier for that matter, too, right? I mean, you look at some of those Huddersfield players and you think, are these guys going to score enough goals to justify our investment, you know? But then you look at someone like Kane and you're like, all right, well, I guess this guy, you know, going into Swansea next game week and he scores, you know, a brace away to Everton. It really should count as one goal and a cross shot, that should count as an assist, really. So let's talk about our game weeks. I actually have a story to tell you first. So you and I went to the Black Horse, which is with our friend Trevor. It was a great bar here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we love the Black Horse.
It didn't burn down Saturday night. It continues to be a great bar. It's a great bar in Brooklyn. And so we were watching the Liverpool. We get there right at the crack of dawn. We're there at 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, watching a very entertaining first 40 minutes of Liverpool Man City, and all of a sudden the epic red card happens. I don't think there was anything particularly violent, and we're not a general interest soccer pod, so I don't want to go down this road too far. But I don't think that, I just don't think he was trying to do it. I think if the ball had gotten, obviously no one thinks he's trying to kick him in the face, but I know you kind of have to give the long ban for the violent conduct, but it would have been hard for him not to pull his foot down once he realized how late he.
Well, I think Raphael Hornigstein on the Totally Football show put it very succinctly. You'll get a ticket for a speeding violation in your car, and generally it's a minor infraction. But if you're speeding and you kill somebody, you're going to jail. So it may have been, in a sense, like a minor infraction, like dangerous
and
play.
And he killed Ederson.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't gloss over this.
So, we're just talking about Mane's jail time alone. could take up a large part of this podcast.
Yeah, the trial is going to drag on all season long, isn't it?
We've been waiting for a great drama like this for a long time in FPL, and we finally have it. We have our O.J. Simpson case.
I was just pulling Mane up on the fantasy site a second ago. He just got the red flag there, and I was like, "Oh, what date does he actually come back?" And it's October 1st, which feels so far away, doesn't it? October 1st.
Yeah, as one of our listeners tweeted at us, we'll be dogging by then. Leaf people.
All right. What do you think his price is going to be on October 1st? Right, this is he's owned by almost 30% of the league.
He's at 9.6 now.
He's at 9.6 now.
Okay, so he'll be 9. I predict 9.4. Just a minor 0.2 drop.
I think 9.1.
Wow.
I think the fight is a little swingier with price drops now. I mean, you look at a lot of these Man United defenders that were highly owned that got dropped. A lot of them are down to like crazy low. Like if anything happens to Phil Jones, it is amazing how cheap that you can get Lindelof. He's 5.1. He's already dropped 0.4 in the first four game weeks.
That's incredible. So the question I have about Mane is how much of that ownership is still playing the game? Because there's just, you can't discount the huge...
It's only 4 weeks into the season.
Yeah,
though.
But there are... Okay, so here's a general question for our audience. What percentage of the 4.9 million FPL managers out there just set up a team in game week one because their office mates made them, and they haven't even logged in since then? What percentage is just a game week one manager?
I don't like to think that way. I like to think that all 4.5 million managers are actively managing their team. They're listening to this podcast. They're almost, first of all, it's almost 5 million this year, which is, that's like almost a million more than we were through four game weeks last season. So even if that's a million dead teams, Brandon, that's still 4 million active managers.
The thing I can't wrap my head around is how we get 10 million listens per week and there are only 4.9 million managers in the FPL. Yeah,
is that you and I just hitting play 10 million times?
All right, this is already a classic always cheating intro in that you were in the middle of telling a story about 5 minutes ago.
Right, exactly. And this is a fantasy story, so let me get into it here. So the red card happens, and I'm kind of bummed out because I have Firmino. You were without Liverpool coverage, so this is fine for you.
Which was my wild card gambit.
I guess I'm bummed out because I dropped Danilo, which almost nobody predict. No one knows. I'm not going to pay any attention anymore to any lineup prediction websites. You can't blame these people.
No, A for effort for trying. I mean, at least they're out there trying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Tony Pulis's son is, making up the predicted starting 11 for West Brom. I mean, who knows,
inscrutable,
right?
Inscrutable, that man.
Yeah, but I got worried. I was looking at the scout, fantasy football scout, actually thought that Hegazi was going to start, but most of the general interest sports sites, which are more or less, it kind of depends. But I was literally reading like Midlands, England newspapers, like looking at their starting 11. It was so, I don't know.
Your
what,
local
what
library
my
really
life.
Has it all, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. I had the microfiche and I was just, I was scrolling down. And a lot of them thought that it was going to be Evans and Morrison in the midfield. Not Morrison. Who's the
Dawson? Evans and Dawson in the middle of the defense.
Exactly. So I thought, okay, fair enough. Higazi may not start. I need to make a move here. I still wanted to start him. I kept him in my team, and I started him away to Brighton. But then I dropped Danilo, who I didn't think was going to play, or I thought might get like a 1 point cameo. Yeah. I dropped him for Duff on Brighton. Which just freed up a little extra money, and I like Brighton's fixtures over the next few game weeks, and they should have kept a clean sheet. I mean, they kind of conceded a dumb goal late when they were up 3-0.
Duffy, you mean?
Yeah, when I say Duff.
Not the Duff man from Simpsons.
Yeah, or Duff. Wasn't there a guy named Duff who played for Fulham?
Yeah, Damien Duff. In the day? Yeah, Irish
yeah,
legend. Duff.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. I think he played for Chelsea, too. So I brought in Duffy, which, you know, didn't work out great. But then, you know, I had to watch the Danilo clean sheet, which seemed pretty inevitable once Liverpool gave up, like, you know, I mean, basically when they dropped, this is like the longest story. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can wrap this up quickly.
Yeah, this is the Mitch Pumpkin story.
Yeah. When they dropped Salah at halftime, I was like, oh, they're just going for the Champions League right here. They're just, you know, they're not even trying to win this game. You had held on to KDB despite all logic. Yeah. You had held on to KDB.
There was a very nervy moment, me drinking my happy hour beer on the way to meet my wife for dinner on Friday night. And it was around, the price changes were nigh. And I saw KDB was on to lose another 0.1 to dip to 9.8. And if that were the case, I wouldn't be able to afford Eden Hazard. Now, we can have a whole separate conversation about that move, but I thought there was something sexy about it. I was still kind of on tilt a little bit with my low point scoring. I thought, hey, mm-hmm. this might be a move to really turn things around for me. And, of course, I had better judgment, and I said, you know, no good will come
about. Conservative instincts took over.
So I held on to KDB, and I was very lucky he didn't drop in price. He remains at 9.9, and, you know, if I, with any luck, I'll get 10 million back out of him, you know, by the time Mane's back in play.
Yeah, maybe if you hold on that long. So you end up having a, you know, pretty decent return from KDB. It looks like, I think you've only 9 points in the
sure.
end, right?
Because defender assists. He was just clinging on to a bonus point near the end, and then it was Mendy, and there was another defender perhaps in play trying to get that bonus point off of De Bruyne. And then, of course, when Walker and Mendy come in with their assist, that walled off that bonus point for KDB. But 9 points right. On a gamble of a hold for a really expensive midfielder, I was ecstatic about that.
Yeah, I mean, 9 points from a defensive midfielder is just a huge haul, and you've got to be pretty excited about that.
I think we'll talk a little bit about KDB later on, but there have been some charts and graphs all over the internet that show that the only player average position on the pitch for City farther forward than KDB was Jesus. So, and it was, the naked eye could see that Pep was trying a different system. Or not full-on system, but at least giving guys like KDB a different sort of role. And he did feel like he was farther forward. He was more involved.
It did seem like he was a little more involved. I agree. So anyway, back to this story that I can't remember where I am.
We can weave this story throughout the entire podcast, Josh. I think it's great.
It's like a Spalding Gray monologue. It just meanders all over the place. So anyway, the point is, throughout the rest of the day, you were just having like a slightly better game week than I was. And I sort of walked out of it and I was like, I'm definitely on a red arrow right now. This is a Saturday night. And so I was on 48 points. And so you were on 50 something. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. And then I went and looked at my score and I was like, oh, I had like a great, a great first day. And I was up like 100,000+ in all these leagues. And then I got another clean sheet from Ben Mee on Sunday morning. And so I ended up on 54 points overall. And you know, I'm like at 88,000 in the world right now. I was up 150,000 overall. And it was just, I forgot that like, it's that thing that like, it happens sometimes when you play someone and like, if you like have a head to head in your fantasy league, sometimes you'll play someone and they'll just, no matter how good your game week is, like, they'll have a slightly better game week.
Oh, yeah. Dave Wagner-Lodell, I know you're out there listening. And I, in our 19-man and woman mini league that we've been in for 8 seasons now, I had the best score apart from Dave. Guess who my head-to-head opponent was?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You never won in 2 played. So it reminded me one of the reasons why I used to spend a lot more time on the Fantasy Football Scout, you know, site, like, especially during, you know, game days, and I would read the forums, but I started to, like, find the score check stuff unbearable because, you know, the only people who post their scores are people who've had great game weeks. Like, no one, maybe if you've had, like, an epically bad game week, right, where, like, everything has gone wrong, you might post, but no one posts a mediocre score. So if you're on there, unless you've had, like, the best game week of your life, you're just going to feel bad because all you're going to see are game week scores that are higher than yours. And it just gets kind of, like, depressing after a while.
Perspective is really key.
So, exactly. So if I had just been home, like, watching that match for myself, I would have been like, oh, 54, this is great.
You still would have been pissed off that I was beating you, though.
A little bit. But, you know, it was okay. I won the first 2 matches in our head-to-head. So we didn't start our 50-buck cup until game week 2 this year, after we kind of gave up on our draft.
Okay, so you ended up on 54 total, is that right? And remind our listeners, your transfer and your captain this week, just for those keeping score at home.
Yeah, it was Danilo to Duffy, and then I captained Lukaku.
I as well captained Lukaku. I think we have some further conversation to have about Big Rom a little later in the episode, but how are we feeling about our choice to captain Rom here?
Completely fine. The idea that Kane away to Everton is a better fixture than Lukaku away to Stoke is crazy to me. I mean, like, it just... Yeah, like, the results didn't bear it out, but you can't be too results based about this stuff. You know, I mean, you can't knee jerk every decision. I would happily have, you know, if those matches happened again in game week 5, I would make the same decision I made.
Yeah, obviously a huge relief that Kane is off and running now with his brace. Yeah. So my move this week was, as I mentioned last week, Britos on the red card to Kyle Naughton. I had a little more hope for Swansea's performance against Newcastle, but I mean, Renato Sanchez just looked completely out of commission. Could not complete a pass to save his life.
I don't know
life.
What they. It's like they told him, just do whatever you want. It was like, there were times when he was in the middle of the pitch. There were times when he was like out wide. I mean, he was playing mostly to the middle, but he took a terrible free kick at one point. Yeah. I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, does he have any role, or is he just like...
Well,
Sanchez's role.
I feel like he was just trying to move the ball from the midfield into the attacking zone. Sure. I think he had some decent moves where he put himself in shield. I mean, I'm praising the guy for shielding the ball, basically. But you could see a certain amount of class in the way he approached the ball, but every single pass didn't have enough on it, even if it was going in the right direction. You're right, that free kick was really terrible. So it's a question of, is he just warming up to playing in a competitive game?
Yeah, yeah. And I thought Carroll looked pretty good in the match. I felt a little... I really was kind of expressing some reluctance about Carroll in last week's podcast, but I thought he looked pretty good in yesterday's match, and actually almost could have scored a goal. Late in the first half.
It is encouraging for those who have kept Carroll. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Tom Carroll and Fabianski were the only players that looked decent for Swansea. Even Kyle Naughton did not. He kind of looked over it at some point and just started booting the ball up the field.
You're said about how, like, when you get... I got 2 points from Duffy, which was disappointing but, like, acceptable. But there's something about getting that yellow card from Naughton that just, like... It just, like, twists the knife a little bit.
Definitely.
2 points versus 1 point doesn't seem like much, but it's just, like, any yellow card is just so
I do appreciate the fact that his yellow card came rather early on. When we have a defender that's maybe on 2, even if they have a clean sheet, and you get a yellow card, you know, anytime after the 80th minute, that's when it really stings.
Yeah, because you know you're not getting any bonus points either.
Yeah. So, yeah, keeping KDB was really what tipped me over the edge here, and Eriksen and Kane for Spurs. Hegazi, I just had this feeling that Brighton were due to score, and they were playing at home, and perhaps also the talk of the rotation risk, I buried Higazi on my bench, and he didn't come into play for me.
Yeah, a very disappointing zero-pointer for Higazi, and I think I know Gareth McCauley played in a under-23 match for West Brom this game week, so one of the most highly owned defenders in fantasy maybe on his way out of the rotation. Are you a little worried about Higazi right now?
Oh, yeah, very worried. So I feel like I was super high. You started with Higazi in game week one, and you fell into just a pool full of points. Right. And that was well done. And yeah. I brought in Higazi on my wild card going into game week three, and I was just very gung-ho on this guy. And I think I said on this podcast, well, McCauley, he's old. He's never getting back into this lineup. The way Higazi has been playing, the fact that he gets yanked at the 56th minute, McCauley is coming back, that is all thrown into question. However, let me say this. If you have Higazi, count your blessings. You made a boatload of money on this guy. Sell high.
Yeah, it's exactly. I got him at 4.5. He's up to 4.9. I would not recommend anyone bring him into their squad. I mean, really, you know, in the end, Ben Foster kind of is the right pick for that team, right? He's 4.5 million, and you know, he's guaranteed to start every game week. You can't win them all, can you, Brandon?
You cannot win them all. you can. Okay, so but let's talk about people who can win them all, shall we?
All right, let's talk about the always cheating Super League. Brandon, I'm going to try reading off the top 10 this game week, which is always a calamitous thing to do, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Okay, you're taking it on the chin. I like it. Good luck.
I am. And given that we had like an all time high in people trying to correct our pronunciations last week, we'll see what happens right now. And I just want to remind people that the players whose names we're mispronouncing, they don't know who we are. They're not listening to the podcast, and I can be quite sure they're not offended.
Yeah, but these managers in the Always Cheating Super League, you bet they know who we are. So don't offend these people.
All right, you're right. All right, so we got the Always Cheating Super League here. I am 101 in the Always Cheating Super League right now, which is not bad. Knocking on the top 100. And you said you were exactly 1,500 spots below me.
1,400. I'm currently ranked 1,501. So I'm lagging behind a little bit.
All right, but here are the top 10. There's no lag in these players, Brandon. two-way tie for ninth with N34, Mark Cassander, 54 points this game week. Tie with James Sawyers, the absolute moy. Number eight, we've got Ross Loggerwood, the last of the Loggerwoods, with Canny Bag of Tudor. In seventh, we have Romy Lukaku, Joshua Williams. In six, we have Crooked United, Mitchell Gray. In five, we have fifth, that is. We have Tottenham Coldspurs.
Lucky number five. Klaus, my lucky number.
Klaus Eric. Is that right? Mine is 17.
Okay.
Yeah, same number as Antonio Valencia, I believe.
No, Tony V is like 20-something.
Is he? Oh, I'm thinking of Nani. Nani is 17. I don't know why I was thinking of Tony.
You just all your favorite Manchester United players of yore are just flooding into your brain right now.
They are. Yeah, I'm thinking of Fabio and
Bebe.
Bebe. All right, tied for third, we have Fabio Borges, Clichy's clean sheet. It's a fixture at the top of the table. And a game of throw-ins, Tom Klinkamail. Sorry, Tom, you're gonna have to write it and let us know how badly I pronounced that one. In second is Zlatan's right knee, Lars Ekstrom, and number first.
Outstanding, Josh.
There's something about recording a podcast. You like lose your ability to talk sometimes. Is Micha at De Gea Bar, Richard Fox, 56 points, 270 overall, 814 world ranking for Richard Fox. And 1,020 world ranking for Zlatan's right knee. So very impressive.
How far down the world rankings do you think Richard Fox will fall over the course of the season? That's my question.
How far will the Fox fall? I think he's going to be out of the top 4 million by the end of the season, from first place to out of the top 4 million.
If you want to join the ranks of the always cheating Super League, and it is a great league, we've got like more than 2,000 managers in here right now, go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab. We've got an auto join button there. Never too late to join. You get to keep all your points. And that code to join is all over our social media, right, Josh?
That's right. I don't know the code offhand, but it's definitely on Twitter and Facebook and our website, alwayscheating.com. And I bet it's even on our Patreon page, Brandon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. Join now before we start our knockout league in the second international
break. Looking forward to that Survivor League. And we're talking about a bonus podcast that we're going to throw up on that Patreon page pretty soon.
That's true. We've already discussed in depth the conversation we want to have with a guest that we have not invited yet to be on.
All right, we're going to finish up this section of the podcast with a rant of the week. Sometimes it doesn't go so well for managers, even me, Josh. But this week,
hard to believe.
The rant of the week goes to Ian Davis, says, sold Kane, KDB, and Davies, or Davis, Ben Davis, that is, on my wild card. Can't beat that. And this is a really true phrase, Josh. I think Ian says it quite succinctly here. Can't beat that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you see your ex-players running riot.
That's true. And it's funny that he says running riot, because our friend Trevor's team name is Running Riot, and he also sold Kane. And he was having a little meltdown when Kane scored that second goal.
Yeah, that is rough. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about heavy-hitting strikers and midfielders. I feel like we spent the entire first part of the season talking about, mid-price this and mid-price that. We're going to talk about the best heavy hitters in the game right now.
The players who actually scores the points.
Among other things. So let's take a break, Josh. Play that music. Same old podcast, always cheating. Okay, let's take a quick minute to talk about Starting 11, which is a new daily fantasy app for your iPhone or Android phone that takes you into the action of daily fantasy Premier League. Josh, let me tell you about all the cool features that you can find on Starting 11.
Tell me.
It has no budget. So all those players you can't get in your FPL squad, you can get them in your daily fantasy squad on Starting 11. There are also 3 in-game substitutions that you can make live while you're watching the Premier League games unfold. It's like you're an actual manager standing on the sidelines. On top of that, like, I feel like we talk about the live in-game substitutions that you can make with Starting 11. One thing that I took advantage of this weekend was making changes to my lineup when the lineups were announced. So I had Hazard, and in case that wasn't clear from the start of the podcast, I was very excited for Hazard to be back for Chelsea. So I put him on my Starting 11 squad. He didn't make the initial team sheet. He was on the bench, so I could go into Starting 11. It didn't take one of my 3 substitutions, and I just swapped him out. It's very free and breezy. It's less rigid than the FPL game that we're used to, which makes it quite a bit of fun. So if you go to Starting 11, and that's Starting 11, the number 11.io, there are links there to get the app for your iPhone or your Android phone, and you can download and you can start playing today. Josh, we have this thing going on with our listeners in Starting 11 where people can challenge us to a Starting 11 head-to-head duel. Yes. Who did you play this weekend?
I played Stephen Toomey, and I was able to eke out a win, Brandon. I think it was like 151 points to 141, and I think that was I picked the right forwards. I think that was what really helped me. I had Morata, Lacazette, and somebody else. And they all 3 of them, I think I had Jamie Vardy too, and so all 3 of my forwards scarred. And I also had Pogba, and I had Peter Cech in goal, and so. Sorry, Steven, but maybe next time.
Well, I'm glad you took that on, because Steven and I still have a rubber match that we need to play. So, Steven, you're on next time. This weekend, I played Jeff Petter, our good friend, and sorry, Jeff, let's do it again. I beat him this time. And then I played both on Saturday and Sunday with John Torstein. And I beat John on Saturday, and then he turned around and beat me on Sunday. And I have to say, we had some questions about the app, getting John set up, and we had some emails back and forth with Starting 11 and the customer service or tech email correspondence was amazing. So Starting 11, if you have any problems with this app, just shoot them an email. They'll coach you through it, and once you're in, it's very easy to use. So yeah,
don't anticipate you having any problems, but if you do, they'll help you with it.
No, absolutely. I haven't had a single issue.
No, neither did I, actually.
I'm really good with computers, though, Josh.
I've been coding for 35 years, Brandon.
So we've been having a lot of fun using this app. Again, if you want to challenge us this coming weekend, there are you can use Starting 11 any day in which there are three or more matches being played in the Premier League. So just hit us up with a DM on Twitter or Facebook or email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, and challenge the cheaters today.
All right, Brandon, on to part two, key questions for game week 5. First key question, what is, Brandon, the best forward line right now?
Stephen Toomey, speaking of starting 11 challenges, asked the golden question, which three would you start? Kane, Firmino, Jesus, Morata. We have a few other questions about what are the best three. Daniel Kolarov says is a front three of Kane, Morata, Firmino, viable without Romelu Lukaku. And I think the key question here is, where is Lukaku now ranking for us in terms of must-haves?
Right. So Lukaku, the guy who scored 4 goals in 4 games, should have had 5 goals if he'd made his penalty on game week 3.
You don't deny, though, that the general feeling here, and just watching Lukaku, he's not just like getting a zillion chances. He's not like bright on the ball. He's doing the business. He's scoring the goals.
Yeah. What I'm feeling is a sense of restlessness in the FPL community to make a change. And I think they see the money.
It's like a man in the mirror-esque sort of impulse.
I am not going to, you know, I am far from the most conventional of managers, and I'm certainly, you know, very in favor of wild card moves. But I just think, you know, Lukaku is relatively cheap still. He's still only 11.7 million. He's scored
relatively cheap.
Well, relatively cheap compared to Kane, I guess, okay. Right? And he's you know. What, is he the same price as Aguero? Aguero is 11.5 as well, right? So, yeah. So, Lukaku is 11.7 million, and Man United, and they really don't have a great backup striker. I mean, they have Marcus Rashford. They're just really, you know, they're really playing them together right now. And Man U continue to have very good fixtures. I mean, they play, you know, home to Everton in game week 5, and then Southampton and Crystal Palace, Huddersfield. Even that Liverpool away match in game week 8 is not a game that I would be particularly scared of. You know, the issue, yeah, I mean, the issue is that if you watch the first, I mean, you're right, because if you watch the first half of the Man United Stoke match, you would be disappointed to see just how conservative Mourinho was in his setup, right? He played Stoke like it was, you know, Inter Milan, you know, circa 2010 or something like that.
Like a Mourinho Inter Milan side?
Yeah, it was like he was playing himself 7 years ago. Like, oh, wow. He was playing the most unpenetratable of defenses, a super team, if you will. Uh-huh. I mean, he treated Stoke with more respect than the Stoke players have for themselves. It was absolutely ridiculous.
That is not hard to do, Joshua.
So, I mean, so my feeling about Lukaku is he's a season keeper. I mean, barring injury or suspension, I plan to start him and captain him nearly every game week. I probably actually won't captain him in game week 5. I plan to captain Harry Kane as home to the Kane. Okay, here's the thing I will say, and I don't mean to jump around too much here, but the concern with Kane is that, you know, they play on Saturday and they have a Champions League game at midweek, so it's a pretty fast turnaround time. Man United does play one day later; they play on Sunday. So, you know, I don't know if that's enough of a difference to change things at all. I mean, let's see. So Man United play on Tuesday. And then they play
at home on Tuesday,
right? They play at home on Tuesday and then they play at home on Sunday. And then when Spurs play this week?
Yeah, they play Wednesday against Dortmund. So and they're at home. So everyone is at all the Premier League teams are at home midweek, except Manchester City, who are going to Holland.
So Kane plays on Wednesday, and then, because he'll certainly play in that first Champions League fixture. So he plays on Wednesday, and then he'll play again 2 days later. And Lukaku plays at home on Tuesday, and then again 4 days later. So there is at least an argument that Lukaku will be a little more rested. He would be playing a better team, granted, on Sunday. But
not on the basis of what they showed. Everton, the way they looked against Spurs, not so sure right. about that.
As an Everton team, and then in a little bit of disarray, and we know that Kane is a little shaky in Wembley, right? Or at least Spurs have not, like, convinced so far in Wembley. Right. I think that's safe to say. So I do think there's an argument for captaining Lukaku over Kane this game week.
And the narrative, she sings in this one, where Lukaku's old team coming to Old Trafford. You know he's going to score against them.
I think I may have just talked myself into captaining Lukaku over Kane.
All right, save it for the Game Week 5 preview that we'll have coming up. Okay, so other heavy hitting strikers that we have to talk about, and then I think we need to finish this section by coming up with, as of the end of Game Week 4 going into Game Week 5, the best forward three lineup, budget be damned.
So, okay, here's a question for you. Have you ever seen a better header of the ball than Alvaro Morata?
I mean, this guy does everything with his head. It's like he has no feeling in his feet. He thinks he's running, therefore he is running. Yeah. He's just like, hit me with the head ball.
I think if he took a penalty for Chelsea, he would actually flick the ball up to his head and try to head it as a penalty.
You know Riyad Mahrez tried to do that last season.
It's a double hit.
So let's say Lukaku versus Firmino. Who are you going to take?
Look, I've been taking Lukaku over everyone, including Harry Kane.
Firmino. Okay, I want to save the Firmino discussion until we get to... Well, we want to talk about heavy hitter midfielders, but Firmino, to me, goes hand in hand with midfielders, because what's going on with this Liverpool team with Mane out for the next few weeks?
Yeah.
Does that make you lose confidence in Firmino going forward, short term?
Well, it doesn't make me feel great. I mean, you know, it's likely that he does play out wide with... It kind of depends on what kind of lineup they roll out. I mean, you know, it's kind of a strikerless formation anyway. Chances are good that Coutinho will slot in starting next weekend. And so it's not like, I mean, Coutinho doesn't play. He's not really a wide man. And so you need someone to play that role, but you could, I suppose, play someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain out there and then keep Firmino up front. It sort of depends on what the team looks like.
And Klopp's shown a willingness to try this. He dropped Salah from the starting 11 a couple weeks ago, so it's not like he feels he's dependent, depending on the fixture, to play both Mane and Salah, both who have great pace and play sort of similar vital roles, bomb down the wing and get those balls into Firmino. I mean, we can't fit it. Sturridge is also there to drop in and give Firmino a bit of freedom.
The game week 4, 5, 6, and 7 fixtures help my thinking on this, because it's Burnley at home in game week 5, great fixture. Leicester away in game week 6, which is a fine fixture. I mean, Leicester are not keeping a ton of clean sheets this season. Have they kept any? Maybe they kept one in game week 2. Newcastle away in game week 7. You know, then they play Man United and Spurs in 8 and 9. But just looking at the next three game weeks, you know, when Mane would be out, they're pretty good game weeks. And so I would expect some goals in those three fixtures. So
yeah, maybe. I mean, for me now. Burnley isn't exactly a team that sets up to get counterattacked.
Yeah, but they concede a lot of goals on the road. I mean, last year, Heaton was, you know, he would rack up tons of save points. And I know they kept the clean sheet away to Man United, you know, the famous, like, 18-save clean sheet. But in general, you were often getting zero, one or two from Heaton.
Yeah, a bit of an anomaly for your keeper to have that many saves, too, because that just means it was a really bad luck day for Zlatan.
Right, right. And I think Burnley look okay this year. But, I mean, even down a man, Chelsea scored 2 goals against them at home. So, I think Liverpool
not with Pope in goal, though, Josh.
Not with Pope and Gault. That's true. I hadn't thought about that. Although Pope apparently is really good. I mean, once Pope came in for Heaton, everyone was like,
"Oh, that save he had against Benteke was phenomenal."
I can't really believe we kept you and I both have Ben Mee, and we got so lucky to keep that.
We did get very lucky. That sort of that lightened the blow, would soften the blow of the Kyle Naughton flame out.
All right. So if I were to rank to get back to your original question, if I were to rank my heavy hitting strikers, and I have a team of three heavy hitters right now. I've got Kane, Lukaku, and Firmino. I guess I would go Lukaku with money being no object. I would rank it Lukaku, Kane, Morata, and then I guess I would actually probably go Firmino over Jesus and Aguero, because I mean, just with the Champions League starting, you're holding your breath every lineup with Pep, right? You have no idea if Aguero and Jesus are going to start together, if one of them is going to get on the bench. I mean, that is a rotation risk every single game week for the rest of the season. And now granted, you may have some of that with Firmino as well, but you're definitely going to have that with Jesus and Aguero.
FBL Doctor asks, is three premium strikers a must now? So people are messing around with their formations. Maybe they go 5-3-2, 5 at the back, 4-3-3. I'm trying out a 3-5-2 because Calvert-Lewin is my third forward. It does seem to me, though, that with all this premium striker talk, we are moving toward a must for three heavy hitters up front. Because this is where so many of the attacking options lie. We're going to talk about midfielders in a minute and how sort of barren a wasteland that is for midfielders.
Yeah. It's really, I'm really looking at a 4-3-3 for a while here. I think that might be the best way to maximize points, especially if you feel like you can get points out of the Brighton and Huddersfield defenders. Then I think that they're, and Ben Mee for that matter, who's any of the 4.5 million. I thought Tarkowski looked really great in the Burnley match.
He did. He was definitely the leader back there.
Yeah.
I was just saying, Mee was doing his share of clearing, but Tarkowski was definitely, I mean, he was having clearances off the line, and basically he was the last resort.
As we all expected, Johan Gabay did take a bonus point over Tarkowski for, I don't know, like sending a lot of crosses or something. Where does that like leave you? I mean, are you, and Lacazette is sort of hovering in this kind of weird, like limbo.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Lacazette yet. I mean, he scored another goal. It was a beautiful goal over the weekend against Bournemouth. Very well taken.
But natural goal scoring instincts. I mean, you know, he's going to get a ton. He's definitely going to get over 20 goals this year.
You predicted it though, Josh. Danny Welbeck outshining Lacazette through four game weeks.
You know, if you listen back to the 39th minute of last week's podcast where I say Danny Welbeck is going to get 16 points at home to Bournemouth, and you laughed, Brandon, but I knew.
I did.
I knew it was going to happen. That is crazy. I mean, you know, he can't really shoot, but hey, two goals, man. Can't argue with that. Three goals in four matches.
Certainly remains to be seen, but there is that, you know, the specter of Etienne Capoue looming over Danny Welbeck. Like, don't get too excited about this guy. This isn't going to be happening for too much longer. But
he plays hard. I'm rooting for Danny Welbeck. I mean, he's an easy guy to like.
The last person we need to touch on here is Jamie Vardy. Leicester have kind of had a lot of rough fixtures to start.
Yeah.
And he is still priced up there. It's like 8.5. Is he still 8.5?
Yeah.
Any temptations there?
Well, I don't really prefer him over Firmino, but I mean, if you look at his fixtures through game week 11, they play Huddersfield, they play Liverpool game week 6, but then they play Bournemouth, West Brom, Swansea, Everton, Stoke. I mean, I'm kind of looking at their defenders, and you know, maybe it'd be nice if there was someone in their midfield besides Mahrez who would emerge. I mean, you've got Mark Albrighton who's. It's 5.5 million. It's not a terrible price, but I would really, if you're looking for some like sort of under the radar midfield options, I would keep an eye on that Leicester midfield because they have some fantastic fixtures coming up, and someone is going to have to emerge from that midfield, especially, you know, with Drinkwater out. I mean, they need some playmaking options.
I just want to make a quick point about Manchester City. People are talking about Aguero's assist to Jesus, how very unselfish it was, and it is really exciting to think about a power duo up front between Jesus and Aguero. And if that is actually, I mean, you touched upon what everyone is always talking about, Pep's penchant for rotation, particularly Champions League coming up. But isn't it so tantalizing, this idea of a striker partnership up front, the likes of what we haven't seen in many seasons?
Since the Sturridge-Suarez years?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that sort of play that they had against Liverpool when the game was effectively over, I understand that. They were just kind of having a kick around at some point. That is really encouraging. It does make my eye go toward Aguero and Jesus in a way that it hadn't before.
I mean, you couldn't have Kane or Lukaku in that case, right? I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Aguero and Jesus together, that's like, what, 22 million? So if you added Lukaku or Kane, that's like 34. I mean, it's almost like 35 million up front. I think it's a little too much.
Yeah, you might be right. Last question is about strikers. We're coming back to Kane. Tom Smith says, with Kane now seemingly firing on all cylinders, this is after just one game, Tom, but I take your point. Is it too early to triple captain him against Swansea next week? Double game weeks seem to be a curse for me. So Tom has some experience playing the triple captainship. I think I know our response to this, Josh, but let Tom know what our feeling is here.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, just if only because, I mean, it's kind of an interesting idea. What I, you know, if they weren't playing in the Champions League 2 days before that or 3 days before this, if they weren't kind of shaky at Wembley, I think it'd be more interesting. But given all of those factors, given the fact that he's still not necessarily firing on all cylinders, I don't know that I agree that he's firing on all cylinders. I think that I would at best captain Kane this game week.
All right, heavy hitting midfielders. How do we compliment these heavy hitting strikers, Josh? Christian Manson asks us, can I rely on KDB to deliver now? I love this. Christian, I want to give you the easy answer here, but we cannot.
I thought you were going to say, and I will. No.
I mean, obviously you can't, quote, rely on KDB to deliver now. It's just one game. I will say, right. I think a lot of people are encouraged by the fact that, of course, after everyone ships Kevin De Bruyne out of their squads, he seems to be playing a little bit forward, but that is just in one match. I mean,
right. A match where for most of the match they were 11 against 10.
Yes. And we said is exactly that while we were watching the game, Josh, is there was nothing to be taken away from the last part of the first half and the entire second half of that Man City-Liverpool game.
If you guys wanted to have a lot of fun and hear a lot of insight, travel back in time to Saturday morning with Brandon and I, 8 o'clock, when I'm on my second beer at the Black Horse Tavern. And hear me rant about Firmino getting subbed in the 60th minute.
It's very encouraging. Like, Christian, if you still have KDB, do not sell him. We've got some good fixtures coming up for City. I'm basically just waiting to make my money back on Kevin, and then I'm going to figure out what to do. But I was very encouraged by that game. But I would count myself lucky if KDB has another game like that in the next couple of game weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think you're going to get your money back. I mean, you might still see a price drop from KDB.
Maybe. We'll see. FPL statistics had him on the upward trajectory. I mean, minuscule trajectory. Okay. But we'll see. I think that very much depends on wild card activity. I think if you dropped Kevin, you're not going to be bringing him back in the next couple of weeks. Like, he's gone. He's in the rearview mirror.
You called him Kevin like three times, like you're on a first name basis. You know, you didn't call Alvaro.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about my good friend Alvaro Negredo.
All right, Mark says, can Paul cover Romelu for $3 million less? I have Pogba and Lukaku. I think that you can make an argument for Pogba or Mkhitaryan. The reason I'm really pro Pogba is just that I think he's going to play 90 minutes of like every single game. He seems like he's really locked in. It seems like he's really trying to score. I think the heat maps and the sort of shots, like a lot of the comparisons with Mkhitaryan comes out a little bit ahead, which I think there is a very sound argument that I probably agree with, that Mkhitaryan is the statistically better option. But I just sort of feel like there's something about Lukaku that I want to have him in my team because I just feel very confident that he's going to be really aggressively trying to score and assist this season.
Yeah,
it's unscientific, maybe.
Yeah, for all the shade I've thrown at Lukaku, I mean, I haven't even thought a minute about dropping him, because I do believe that as the season rolls on, he's going to prove his worth more and more and more and more.
So, do you think that Pogba can cover Lukaku for $3 million less?
You can't. I believe you couldn't say one way or another, because this depends on who Mark has up front. I mean, if you're looking at Lukaku as a striker that's going to be scoring so many, he's going to score a goal every week, but he's just going to be knocking in 6 points for your team. Yeah. You're going to stop losing the desire to captain Lukaku after a while. You're going to see Harry Kane coming in with a potential to score a hat trick against various opponents. Then I start to wonder, well, is Jesus or is Morata or is Lacazette somebody who's playing in a system where they're more likely than Lukaku to score a brace as opposed to a goal? And I think that's the one flag I would throw up on Lukaku right now.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I feel differently, and I really hope that the managers out there do start to drop Lukaku. I think that would be fantastic. I know that boredom sets in, and people get sick of getting goals every week. I think you got to have Lukaku. His ownership is also crazy high, and if he does anything good, it's going to crush you. And I'm not even talking about overall rank here, but practically everyone's mini league too. Is very Lukaku centric, and I do think that dropping him, brings with it a lot of risk. Now, I said earlier that I don't think I'm being overly conservative when I say this, but I just feel very confident in the consistency of his returns this year, and I just think it's foolish to drop him. So that's all I'll say. We've talked about Lukaku a lot this podcast.
All right, here's a pop quiz for you, Josh.
Yes,
Jake Baldry wants to know: Willian and Lukaku to Morata and Pogba. So this sort of the you pose the way to solve the equation. Can you solve the equation?
I reject the premise. I don't want Willian. I would hold Lukaku, and I would trade Willian for somebody else. And what, just to answer that question, what midfielder would I want that's under 7 million or cheaper? I don't know. It might still be Richarlison, actually. He looks so good in that Southampton match. He just needs to score a little more. I might try to find a little more money and try to bring in one of those. I might try to find a way to bring in Pogba anyway. Maybe you can downgrade a defender or something.
Okay. Speaking of replacements, Mane is out until October 1st, as you said, Josh. Options to replace Mane. What? And I guess generally, what does this do to Liverpool's prospects? I guess we've kind of touched on it. Like, it does raise some question marks. But do you immediately know who you would replace Mane with?
I would be very tempted to replace Mane with Coutinho. I would wait until the Champions League fixtures were over and see how much they played him. Ideally, he plays like 30 minutes in the Champions League, and then he is slotted right into the team. He's only 8.8 million, so I think he's it's a great time to buy him. Salah is another option, I think. He just needs to be a little less wasteful around goal. It's kind of a I didn't even have Salah on my team, but I was just so frustrated by his finishing in that match, in the first 40 minutes or so.
Oh, you were rooting for a Liverpool goal just to justify you dropping Danilo, I think.
I was. That's true. But I mean, surely you agree about Salah.
Yeah, I do.
He looks so good.
His work rate is so great, and he's trying so hard, and I think it's like his sights aren't perfectly set every time. But he does look great. I mean, there are other options apart from Liverpool, but I think if you don't have Christian Eriksen, that has to be the guy you bring in for Mane.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely Eriksen. I think that, yeah, Eriksen is the first. If you have the money, he is absolutely the first player I would bring in. After Eriksen, I might look at one of Pogba and Mkhitaryan. It sort of feels like a matter of personal preference almost. I would definitely
look at... That's a little bit like who you are. It's like getting a tattoo. Are you a Mickey guy or a Pogba guy?
Yeah.
Coke or Pepsi?
I also think that Mourinho trusts Pogba a little more than Mkhitaryan. Doesn't it feel like Mkhitaryan could be like on the... Like, he makes a mistake in a match, and he gets the hook in the 15th minute.
Oh, he gets
minute,
the Juan Mata treatment.
Right, and then he gets, like, you know, sub for the next two matches as, you know, punishment or whatever. I think that, I mean, is there anyone outside of, like, the top six clubs that you would look at? I mean, are there any, you know, is there anyone on, I mean, would you look at Ozil? Is Ozil someone who would appeal to you?
that Arsenal team is just so gross. I mean, even...
Yeah.
Just destroying Bournemouth as they did. I still don't find it appealing. No Ramsey, no Ozil. Yeah, Alexis Sanchez is yet to be determined.
Now, obviously, they play away to Man United in Game Week 5, but does Gylfie Sigurdsson appeal at all? He's home to Bournemouth, home to Burnley, and away to Brighton in Game Week 6 through 8.
At 8.5, it's just a ridiculous outlay of cash for a team that doesn't look like it's gelled.
Yeah.
Yes, their fixtures are kind of looking good coming up, but at 8.5, just no, relax.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a little too expensive given that there's all these really good options. But it does seem a little boring sometimes to just recommend Liverpool midfielders and Spurs midfielders and Man United midfielders.
It does, but I think going back to what we were saying about just collecting the players who are getting all the points, that's who we're building our teams around. And I guess Mane getting the red card, getting the ban, might be a silver lining. Maybe you bring in a guy like Richarlison for Mane, and right. Suddenly you're turning Calvert-Lewin into Morata.
Right. Well, that's a big jump. Yeah. It's like a 5 million jump, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a 5 million jump.
Wow.
So, you know, that assumes you have... What? Let me do the math. How much do you have in your bank? All right. So speaking of Richarlison, Josh, we have a little section here called Can't Have Them All. And we can't just talk about heavy hitters here. Let's quickly run through the never-ending discussion of who do I buy in the midfield between 5 and 6 million. Dave Aston says, discuss the 5 to 6 million mids. I defy you to pick one. I really have no answer. I'm kind of like don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, it feels like there's still a lot of ambiguity there. I will be a total bandwagon-y guy here, and I will give a shout out for Pascal Gross. You know, so we have to at least mention him on this podcast because, you know, 2 goals and an assist, 18 points in game week 4. He is a player that we did talk about on the preview podcast way back when, and he created the most chances of any player in the Bundesliga last season, and that pretty extraordinary. We consider how many dynamic players there are on BVB and Bayern Munich and all the other clubs. So really like impressive, talented player who is just available for super cheap, right? He's 5.4 million. And what makes him even more appealing, and I guess you could include Anthony Knockaert or Davy Proper, maybe even Izquierdo, is that the fixtures are really quite good for Brighton for a long time to come. They play Arsenal in Game Week 7, but then, you know, from Game Weeks 5 through 12, they play Bournemouth, Newcastle, West Ham, Southampton, Swansea, Stoke. Just a run of mediocre to bad teams. And I don't know. I feel like, sure,
And Brighton is a bad team themselves. So
they are a bad team themselves. So I don't want to go over the top here. I'm not saying triple up on Brighton or anything. But given that we haven't solved this problem yet, given that there's an in-form player, given that they have good fixtures, maybe that's just a logical move. And people don't want to do it because it feels so bandwagon-y.
Ignacio V on Twitter says, is Gross the new Tadic? I'm not entirely sure if Ignacio means that.
In a good way or a bad way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say. Now, Gross is a wholly unique and original individual, not to be compared to Dusan Tadic.
Yeah. Tadic is the most frustrating. As Jeremiah John says, why doesn't Tadic start? Tadic must have, like, a terrible attitude or something, right? There must be some reason
just
why.
Just look at the guy. That guy's got terrible attitude written on his forehead.
No manager trusts him. He's like Gerard Deulofeu. He just, no one thinks he can start two matches in a row. No one thinks he can play the full 90 minutes. The underlying stats are always fantastic, and then he always disappoints. I mean, I know he got a penalty in game week two, but, you know, in general, he's a very disappointing player.
I bet he's a real bad boy in the locker room, hanging out, smoking cigarettes, making eyes at all the coaches' daughters and whatnot.
Cigarettes rolled up his sleeve. Yeah, jean jacket.
Here's an interesting shout for you, Josh. Martin Uhr says, IU. Actually, we need to specify, Martin. Are you talking about Andre or Jordan as a Willian replacement?
So it must be Andre, right? Because he's a midfielder.
That's true. Yes, that is true. Good point. Problem with Andre is he hasn't been starting. I mean, he came in, he was an impact sub for West Ham in their match today, recording against Huddersfield. But
there might be an irony in me saying this, considering I was just shilling for Pascal Gross. But the IU thing, that feels a little bandwagony to me, right? Because he actually had
recency bias.
Yeah, I mean, he you know, didn't he had no goals or assists in the first three matches. You know, came on and had a goal and assist in 26 minutes of this game. And, you know, maybe that, and, you know, honestly, he was so good as an impact sub that I wonder if they just keep him in that role.
I don't see why not. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, bring him on against a, you know, tired defense or when they need a goal. And, I don't really know what to think about that whole, West Ham team in general. I mean, Antonio, still hasn't really gotten off the, you know, gotten going this year. He has one assist in four matches and, didn't play in game week one, so maybe he's still just, you know, not fully fit. But, you know, 9 goals and 8 assists last year, 8 goals and 7 assists the year before, you know, really consistent, strong returns for, you know, for an affordable price. You know, I wish he was a little bit cheaper. He's 7.5 million. I really wish he was 6.5.
Let's talk about Watford, your Richarlison lover. Decore? Well, any interest in Decore? 5.2. He's bagged 2 goals already. Jen says, could Decore be better value than Richarlison right now?
Well, based on what we've seen so far, yes, sure. But I don't know. I mean, Richarlison, I thought he actually played pretty well and looked pretty good in the in Watford. I mean, Southampton are just not a fun team to watch, and there's some weird thing that seems to happen where when you play them, you suddenly don't become a fun team to watch either. You know, it's like they just suck the joy out of matches right now. Yeah. And so I don't know. I don't really know how to rate Richarlison. I mean, the Brighton match, they lose, you know, they go down a man very early on. Right. And so it's 10 and 11. How much can he really show? Right. In the Southampton game, he also, you know, didn't pick up any points, but, you know, he did. I just thought he looked good. I thought he was really active. He was on the ball a lot. He was, you know, he showed some aggression. But the results aren't there. The fixtures are like not super hot, right? They play Man City. They do play Swansea and West Brom in game week 6 and 7. I don't know. I mean, would you bring in Richarlison right now? I guess I probably wouldn't.
No, I'm not bringing Richarlison in. I guess that's why Decore is a little more tempting, because he doesn't miss a minute, just like my favorite Aerosmith song. So he plays the full 90, and he's cheaper. But 5.2 for a guy who kind of, for me, performs as a fifth midfielder starts to feel a little expensive.
Yeah, you know, just, I know this podcast is starting to go long, so let me just throw this idea out there, Brandon. There are, like, I mean, I'm just looking, like, at all of the teams right now. Just, like, I'm looking at the midfielders. I'm trying to think of, like, a really good suggestion. It really seems to augur for either a heavy-hitting midfield or a three-man midfield with four defenders, right? Because it does seem like there's just not a lot of value right now in the 4, 5, 6 million midfield range. But I think there is some pretty good value in that 4.5, 5 million defender range. So maybe I would just argue against trying to find a solution in midfield and in favor of upgrading your defenders and playing a four-man defense.
Yeah, I totally agree. There is no bat magic bullet right now, and or no answer that we can really help you with your midfield. It's sort of chill. Everybody chill.
So, Brennan, I think we should cut the rest of the questions and go right to our Game Week 5 preview. What do you think about that? Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody. Let's do it. You're cut.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're on to Game Week 5. Transfers plan for this week. Who are you thinking about?
I was up till all hours last night trying to figure out how to get Ben Davies into my squad before he hit the 5.7 price rise. All I have are eyes for Ben Davis right now. Davies, mm-hmm. Davis, however you like it. I'll go both ways. He's my man. I think Spurs fixtures are the pick of the bunch going into Game Week 5. Again, coming up, Swansea, West Ham, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, until they hit Liverpool in Game Week 9. And the I guess the prospect on Danny Rose coming back, it's not for even a while yet. Ben Davies is probably set in that starting 11 for at least another 3 or 4 game weeks.
Yeah, I really want to bring in Davies as well. I wish I would have just done it this last Saturday. I didn't get him already because I decided I was a little more conservative and I thought I wanted to wait until the Champions League fixtures are played just in case. I wanted to hold on to my transfer. I missed the one, his 10th of a price rise. I think if he's set to rise a second time, I probably will just transfer him in. But I was willing to take 1.1 hit.
So who would you drop for him? Are you dropping Bertrand?
Well, I actually have 2.4 million in my bank.
Whoa.
And I have, I have Long from Burnley on my defense. So I think I'm just going to turn Long into Davies. And then I would play a four-man defense, and I'd actually still have 0.7 million on my bank.
Well, I'd say that's done and dusted, man.
Yeah, I think that's probably the move I'm planning to make. I guess if Higazi is like definitely not going to play, then I might just, if it somehow comes out, I don't know why it would, that Higazi is just not going to start this weekend, then I might think about just making that move and just banking that price rise that I picked up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Long to Davies is the way to go.
Yeah, I wanted to turn Higazi into Ben Davies last night, but I was 0.2 shy. Now I'd be 0.3 shy, and because I'm done with Higazi. It was kind of fun. I didn't really get any of his points, but I got 2 points and 0.1 worth of money. So nice. How do I spend it?
Yeah. Oh, did you get the 0.1? So you got him at 4.7.
I got him at 4.7. Yeah. So nice. So I can sell him at 4.8 now, which is good. Not quite good enough, apparently.
You do not have Davies yet. You still haven't figured out how to do it.
No, and it looks like to get Davies, which I just feel is an incredibly smart move to make right now, I'd have to get rid of Aaron Moy. So please, God, don't make me have to revisit that question of below 6 million midfielders.
Right. But so you do like Moita Decore, right, would be the way that you do it probably.
Yeah, something to that effect. I don't feel right getting rid of Ryan Bertrand. I mean, Southampton have stunk recently, but their fixtures are still too good to drop a guy like Bertrand. Crystal Palace coming up.
I don't know where... Where are the assists for Bertrand? Give us some assists, man.
We've only had him for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Let him breathe a little bit.
Yeah, and the fixtures are actually really good for them through Game Week 11. I mean, they play Man U in Game Week 6. Other than that, it's a really strong run.
It could be false hope that we think they'll get it together. I mean, they just look like they're a little rudderless at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, the other outstanding issue on my team is Calvert-Lewin, but I don't see any way of fixing that until some different setup in my midfield starts taking shape. So right now I'm focused on Spurs defense.
Okay. Yep. No, that makes sense. I'm thinking the same thing, and I'm just waiting until the Champions League matches are over, just to be safe, because you know, we've all seen massive injuries come through during the Champions League. Like, part of me almost wants to do the move beforehand and just be able to like burn four with a clear conscience. You know, it's so rare that you can do that. You know, or you can just burn four and be like, I have no choice. Yes. There's nothing I can do. I've got to make two transfers.
It does feel good to know that it was justified. All right, so we talked a little bit about captaincies. Kane is the clear front runner, but you managed to talk yourself into Lukaku earlier in the podcast.
I'm thinking about it at least. It's you know, the homecoming game against Everton. I don't know if that means that he presses or if he just like does a Van Persie and he just like destroys Everton. It's hard to say.
How do you know Wayne Rooney doesn't come in on the flip side of the homecoming narrative?
That's just an exciting match. I am just totally excited about Man United Everton.
Okay, so Sunday this past game week, we had Swansea, at Newcastle and Bournemouth Crystal Palace. And everyone was sort of like yakking on social media, like, what a garbage Super Sunday. This is a Super Sunday. Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Everton. Let's go.
It's fantastic. And Chelsea, Arsenal is a total pure watch for me. No players in the game.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time. When's the last time there was a Chelsea-Arsenal derby and you didn't have anybody in the game? That feels like a rarity to me. I feel like I almost always have one player from those teams.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be excited to have Chelsea defense going into that game. But I would be super psyched to have Morata, and this is a classic game. I know I've been like weirdly Hazard wishful thinking the last couple of weeks, but this game has Hazard written all over it, right?
It just, who knows? I mean, I would totally buy an Arsenal win in this game too, just given
that's crazy.
Given
that's
how the narrative with Arsenal always that's when they win games like this, you know, like you just never know with that team.
Yeah.
One thing I will flag, not for this match, but just long term, is Gary Cahill down to 6.3 million, number one overall points gainer for defenders last year. 6.3 million is an extremely affordable price. And, you know, he's not going to deliver the, you know, attacking points that you're going to get from Alonso, but the guy is a great goal scorer on set pieces. Scored 6 goals last season and has scored, you know, 2, 3, 5 goals various years in the past. So I think that I'm definitely keeping an eye out on Cahill when Chelsea's fixtures improve.
All right, so the big fixture to flag on Saturday is Spurs-Swansea. That's where we're looking at captaining Kane. Probably your best bet for a clean sheet as well. Any other clean sheet possibilities jump out for you on Saturday?
Newcastle-Stoke, maybe. I thought Newcastle's defense looked pretty good.
Lascelles, how about that, huh?
Yeah. I know. I think I might actually play Elliott over De Gea in this on Saturday too.
Okay.
So
okay,
it's interesting. Elliott has not made his way off my bench yet, but it might be time.
He's gonna punch his way out of your bench.
Can't you see Everton scoring at Man United? I can definitely see that happening.
I could. I do see your logic. It's the logic tracks. Starting Elliott, but no, I'm going De Gea, definitely.
Are you? Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. Clean sheets, maybe Man City at Watford. I think Watford score in that match.
Yeah, we glossed over a few questions about defense. I mean, the defense at Man City didn't sort of turn your opinion, keeping a clean sheet against Liverpool?
No, not at all. And there was like an ESPN article that was so bad about how good Man City looked and how bad Liverpool looked. And I was like, did you watch this match or did you just watch it after, like, did you wake up after the Sané red card took place? Because, man, Liverpool could have scored like, what did I say, Sané?
That sounds similar.
Yeah, although Sané's, it's similar enough. One is German and the other one's African, but, you know.
Senegalese.
Senegalese, thank you. I couldn't remember the country, and I didn't want to
disrupt the amazing flow that you have.
Yeah, like we've just done. I think that Liverpool could have scored like 3 goals in the first 40 minutes of that game. And, you know, everything that happened after they took Salah off at halftime is kind of irrelevant because Liverpool were playing for, you know, for the Champions League at midweek. I mean, they weren't trying to win that game. Or, I mean they failed at a team, but it wasn't like... I mean, did you feel like Liverpool even cared if they won that game?
No, it was all geared towards let's basically get our heads right for midweek against Sevilla.
Let's give Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain a run out. You know,
yeah. And Man City, let's not forget, like their first choice goalkeeper is out, and Claudio Stonehands Bravo is back in, and they company is injured. They don't have it sorted.
Yeah. I am fine playing Richarlison in game week 5.
Maybe it'll be a Decore versus Richarlison. Oh, it's cheating match. How exciting will that be?
It'd be pretty darn exciting, Brandon. The other thing to note is that we actually have a Friday fixture this week.
Yeah, set your teams on Friday. Bournemouth hosts Brighton for a Super Friday, Friday Night Lights sort of thing.
I'll be playing Duffy in this game, but I think that Bournemouth will probably win this match, actually. I think that it's they kind of need to, don't they? Like, Bournemouth need to win a game. They have 0 points through 4 fixtures. This team is better than that. I mean, I'm not sure that they're top half of the table, but they are definitely not a team I expect to be in the relegation.
Can you imagine a world in which Bournemouth has to let Eddie Howe go? I mean, I don't want to live in that world.
I think they would just get relegated and keep him. I mean, that guy is like Alex. I mean, he's an Alex Ferguson type figure for that club. I think they would rather go down with him than drop him. Maybe I'm just too sentimental. I don't know. But he really is a club legend. He would not be an easy player to fire, but it would take more than this start to let him go. I mean, they'd have to have, you know, 0 points at game week 15 or something like that.
Well, any team that is responsible for buying Jermaine Defoe at this point maybe deserves to go down. I'm not sure. That's just what I'm just going to throw that one out there.
Fair enough. Brandon, that's the podcast for this game week. And we didn't curse once, did we? We got through it curse-free.
I don't think so. Maybe I said something was stupid or something sucked, so I hope everyone's okay with that.
You can find us on Twitter. We did think about that, and we're we do not have an explicit label in the podcast, and I think that we make an effort not to. So let's keep that up, Brandon.
Absolutely, keep it clean.
We'll stay as family friendly as possible. I did think about, there was someone who commented last week, and I was like, you know what, we'll be the 30-something guys that we are, and find. and be the dad pod.
Oh, yeah, and just swear into pillows in the quiet of our dark bedroom, like 30s.
Right, exactly. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/hailcheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating, SoundCloud, just look up Always Cheating. You can find us there. Our website is alwayscheating.com. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or you can find us on Patreon. You can support the podcast, and you can also join our Patreon League. We give away a free issue of Fantasy Football Mag every month. We also, the winner of our Patreon League gets to be a guest on the podcast. And if you join before the second international break, then you can join our Survivor League. We're starting that at the second break. So we also have exclusive podcasts, including one that should go up next month.
Josh, not only do you get a you could win a free issue of Fantasy Football Mag, any of our Patreon supporters get a 10% discount on a yearly subscription to FF Mag. So that's another great deal. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Acast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. We're there.
And Brandon, I am talked out. I did not think, you know, it's funny. I don't know where the podcast is going to go. I did not think I'd talk about Lukaku over 45 minutes. That surprised
me. He demands it.
Yeah, I guess so. He's the new Aguero. Is that what you're saying?
He's the new Brock Toon. All right, let's wish our listeners good luck in game week 5. Don't forget to set your team on Friday.
Yep, don't forget to set your team. Don't forget to wait until the Champions League matches have played, if at all possible.
All right, Ben Davies forever.
All right, Pogba can shoot now.
Overseason! Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.